Welcome to Blood Magic, the podcast. At this point in time, we want to thank our listeners, followers, subscribers for staying with us during this trying time in our nation, in the world. We will continue to put out podcasts, blog, and write the sequel to Blood Magic, a Vampire Hunter novel. Have you ever wondered what you would get if you crossed a school teacher with a vampire hunter? You would get a character that almost always has a plan, rarely curses, but is willing to rip your heart out. The fantasy novel Blood Magic by R.L. Collins has been released on Amazon and Barnes & Noble. Selena Anderson is a small-town teacher with a big-time problem with vampires who are out to kill her before she can make them her next meal. She is looking forward to a quiet, lazy summer in Culpeper, Virginia. At least this is her plan until three strangers enter her life in one day. Welcome to podcast episode number 17. We learn the aftermath of the vampire raid in Morrisville, Virginia. There was something cold dripping in my arm. The air smelled of antiseptic. My body felt like it had been dropped from a rocky cliff. I opened my eyes to a white ceiling, white walls, and machines beeping and whirring next to me. Devlin was on a couch. I was in a hospital. Devlin jumped up from his seat and rushed over to me. Concern made his handsome face tense. "How do you feel?" he breathed. "I wish I could say I'd been worse, but I haven't," I croaked. He smiled at that and lifted a cup of water from the table next to my bed. He helped me sit up and drink through the straw. "What happened? Is Marcus dead?" "I'm not quite sure. Your vampires chased him out of the mansion, but many of them started to burn up in the sun. When Marcus left, the humans disappeared too." "Did we lose anyone?" I was afraid to ask, but had to know. "Everyone is okay, a little banged up, but okay." "What about the Jew? Marcus broke his neck." "He's fine. He's a were-tiger, so he healed in a few hours and is almost as good as new." "A few hours? How long have I been here?" "About 2 days." "2 days?" "Yes, you were stabbed in the stomach and had a dislocated hip and you had a concussion. I didn't know how you would heal, so I brought you to a hospital. But the vampire blood worked through your system and pulled you through. I'm going to get you out of here in a few hours. I have to give the doctors a fake name and a phony story about you running with a kitchen knife to keep them from calling the police, but they are still suspicious." A nurse came in to bring lunch for the afternoon and check my vitals. I slowly made my way through the bland meatloaf and mashed potatoes. Devlin pulled up a chair and sat next to my bed, making small talk. They took away my dishes after I finished. Then he turned to me and gently put his hand over mine on the bed. "Devlin, Marcus told me that he's my brother," I whispered to him. "How would that be possible?" "I'm not quite sure. Marcus hasn't been human for centuries. Perhaps he was trying to hint at some other connection," Devlin thought out loud. "It can't be that we have the same parents. He has those blue eyes and blonde hair." "What do you know of your father?" "Absolutely nothing. If it wasn't for Ophelia, I wouldn't even know my mother is alive in Rome. From what I know, Marcus' closest thing to family is the vampires that he creates." We mulled over that thought for a little bit longer, enough to turn the TV in the room and watch the new news. Thankfully, I wasn't the topic of a news story. Then Devlin turned to me. "Selena, I must tell you I was terrified when I thought I lost you," he began. "Yeah, I was worried when I thought I lost me too. I tried to make a joke." "I'm serious," he said. His sea green eyes held my gaze. "I care for you much more than I expected to." "Well, if you believe the prophecy, you're depending on me to save the Paw people from Marcus." I think I was trying to fool myself and explain away his concern. Devlin stared at me blankly for a moment and seemed to toughen his resolve. "This is not about the mission. I want you with me even after this is over." And there it was. I didn't quite know how to respond to his confession. There was too much going on. I decided to tell him so. "Devlin, my life is a mess right now. It seems like every 5 seconds I'm battling vampires that want to kill me. Even if I do manage to defeat Marcus, I'm a murder suspect. I have to clear my name before I can get back to some semblance of a normal life." "I can help you do that," he insisted. "Just be honest with me. Do you feel anything for me?" He squeezed my hand and I fought not to squeeze it back. My eyes roved his handsome face.
Devlin was a fierce warrior, but he had surprising moments of tenderness. I couldn't ignore his ability to be vulnerable. Yes, I breathe. I feel something for you. His gaze heated, and he leaned over to kiss me with those luscious lips. He left me breathless. Now, you too, Missy Tist, as she breezed into the room, carrying a bag from the local bakery. It's time for guard duty to change, and I brought dessert. It may not be as tasty as that kiss, but it's still sweet, she beamed. I felt my face reddened. She shooed Devlin out of the room, and he promised to return later. Missy arranged the treats on a tray next to my bed and swung it over my lap. So which is your guilty pleasure? A slice of double chocolate cake? Raspberry cheesecake? Or moist carrot cake? I had to laugh at her enthusiasm. I'll have the double chocolate cake, but only if you split it with me, I said. That's a deal. Missy divided the cake in half with a plastic knife, slid half of it over to me, and plopped down in the chair next to my bed to enjoy her half. How did you sneak this past the nurse's station, I asked. Oh, it was easy. I just promised to bring them dessert next time I stop by, she said, waving a plastic fork in her hand. I found myself feeling light and a little happy. Well, I'm glad to see you're awake and recovering, she said, sobering. You gave us all quite a scare. Yeah, I didn't realize I'd been out so long. The men are very protective of you. One of them has been next to your bed the whole time you've been in here. I almost had to get into a fist fight with one of them just to see you today. You're joking, I half-assed. Ha! Well, maybe exaggerating just a little bit, she said, wiggling her eyebrows, but it was very tough to get in here. I appreciate your efforts. This cake is delicious. I saw you on the news. Oh, yeah? I tensed at the change in subject. I know you didn't murder anybody, she whispered. Do you have any clues as to who might have done it or why? No, I don't have the slightest idea. I was going to trust the police to investigate until they made me their prime suspect. Yes, sometimes the police can bungle things. My sister went missing a year ago in Woodbridge, Virginia. I'm sorry to hear that. The police never found her. They didn't even get a list of suspects. She was single and lived alone, you know. Missy had my interest. Who saw her last? A delivery man, she said and paused to collect her thoughts. She'd been home to receive a package from L.L. Bean on a Friday afternoon, and by Monday morning she was missing from work. She was never late and hardly missed a day without calling first. They alerted the police right away. That's real strange. Yes, it was. I even hired a private investigator trying to get something, anything that would help me find her. But there was nothing. She had a small circle of friends and no enemies. It was like she disappeared off the face of the earth. How do you keep going? I just keep hoping she'll get to come home one day. We finished our dessert in silence and Missy suddenly perked up. So tell me about you. You know all about me. And then she laughed. Probably more than you wanted to know. Before you started fighting monsters, what was your life like? Happy to lighten the mood and remember my vampire-free days, I began telling Missy my life as an elementary school teacher. Time passed, and then I had a new visitor, Sajou. Guard duty switches again, Missy said, smiling. We'd managed to finish off two slices of cake during our time together. She left the carrot cake for me to enjoy after dinner. She also offered to bring us drinks from the cafeteria, which we gladly accepted, then she was off. I sipped on a Sprite while Sajou had orange juice. I turned to him and said, I'm glad to see that you're okay and not in a wheelchair for life. Sajou had taken up the comfy chair next to my bed. Yeah, one of the perks of being a were animal is that we heal quickly and hardly ever get sick, he said, ruffling his shaggy hair. Lucky you. No, you're the lucky one. You survived being stabbed in the stomach, thrown down a flight of stairs. If it weren't for the vampire blood, you'd be dead. I wish I knew more about how and why this all works for me, I said as I sipped my drink. What do you think about Marcus and about your brother? He didn't kill him. Sajou looked out the blinds of the window, then said, I have been thinking about that. It's hard to believe. Was Raja in contact with anyone here? Before we lost contact with him, he did say he felt he was being followed. I wanted to fly out to help him, but he said he would deal with it on his own. After hearing your story of how you two met, I just assumed it was Marcus or one of his men that had been tailing him. Devlin said there were other beings, other than vampires, among us. I said more to myself than to Jew. Then he sat down in the chair next to my bed and gave me very serious eyes. "You would be welcome in the work community, Selena," he said to me. "What do you mean?" "Some of our members are pop people. You would be welcome to live with us. You don't have to stay with the brothers." I was confused at the change in topic and took a sip of my drink. Saju sat up straighter in his chair. "What does Devlin mean to you?" he asked. I sputtered in my drink. Saju continued. "I've seen the way he looks at you, and he's more than a little overprotective." He placed his hand on my bed and almost reached for my hand. I also remember our time alone at Tiki Island. I felt my face redden. "I can tell how Devlin feels about you. I know how I'm beginning to feel about you. But you are the mystery." "Saju, I..." The nurse came in with dinner, interrupting what I was about to say. I wasn't even quite sure I knew what I was about to say. The nurse slid the table arm over my lap and presented me with what she called potato soup and broccoli. It looked like gruel and regurgitated green stuff. Saju sat back and finished his orange juice. I finished my Sprite and began eating. I managed to polish off the soup and began to pick at the broccoli. However, I started to feel strange. Fatigue tugged at my eyelids and weighed down my body. I pushed away the tray and turned to Saju. He was sound asleep. His orange juice cup was overturned, and a few lingering drops had spilled out onto the table. I tried to reach over to shake him awake, but my arm never made it. I was out too. I was moving. I cracked my eyes open and I was traveling past doors down a long hall. Nurses and doctors passed me by. I looked down at my body and saw that I was in a wheelchair. I looked up. "Missy, what is going on?" I croaked. I could feel a strange sleep dragging me back under. I was, however, able to note that she was wearing a lab coat as if she were staff. "You've been discharged," she said curtly. I never heard Missy sound so cold. Then I was out again. I was lying on my side under a stifling blanket, and I was still moving. My hands and feet were bound. I reached up with both hands to pull the blanket from my face. I was in a car of some sort. I looked out the window and saw a black starry sky. There was a spattering of other cars whizzing by. I leaned forward and could see Missy's blue eyes in the rearview window. "Missy, you drugged me and Saju, I see." She hardly spared me a glance. "I'm so sorry, Selena. Marcus has my sister. I have to do what he tells me to do if I want to see her alive again," she said dejectedly. "You've been working with the vampires all this time. The vampires forced our plane to crash so we would meet you. They must have counted on our taking you with us to protect you." "Now you're catching on," Missy said with grim resignation. "You sat in on all of our plans to ambush the vampire nest. You told Marcus where we would be. I've done things I'm not proud of. My sister and I should have gone free that night, but you're just too strong for your own good. Lucky for me, you're also too trusting. You will pay for this," I vowed between clenched teeth. We drove on in silence for a time. I managed to shrug the ridiculous blanket on the floor. I watched random cars whiz by us. Missy pulled into a parking lot of a Motel 6. She leaned forward and rummaged around in the glove compartment of her car. She pulled out a revolver, and then she turned to me in the back seat with the gun in hand. "We're going to spend the night here. If you give me any trouble, I'll shoot you on the spot. This time, you don't have any vampire blood in you to keep you alive. Marcus said he wanted you, but he didn't say you had to be alive. Are we clear?" I glared at her. She cocked the gun and warned me. "Selena." "Yes, I'm all clear over here." "Good. Now lay under that blanket until I get back," she said as she lifted the godforsaken blanket back over me. The musty thing covered me from head to foot. I frantically thought of how I could escape. However, I was weaponless and completely tied up. I thought about yelling for help, but any commotion would surely bring Missy running as well. I decided she couldn't keep her eyes on me every second of the trip. Missy finished her business and opened the car door and slid into the driver's seat. She started the car, put it in gear, and drove us around to the back of the motel. She backed into a spot in front of our room. Then she snatched a blanket away from my face. "I'm going to cut your feet loose," she said, "and we're going to walk into the room together. Remember, no funny business," she said as she waggled the gun at me. Missy produced an army Swiss knife, then got out and opened the side door. She did indeed cut my feet loose after she tucked the gum into the waistband of her jeans. I was still in my hospital gown, so she used the blanket to cover me as she half walked, half dragged me to Motel Room 12B. Nobody was around to see the strange sight. Inside the room was a seedy sight itself. The wallpaper was a tacky gold and burgundy design that matched the comforters on two double beds. The carpet was covered in a rainbow of stains and some burns. The room smelled of cigarettes and Chinese takeout. Missy dumped me unceremoniously on the bed furthest away from the door. She zipped out to grab an overnight bag from the trunk of the car. Then she was locking the door behind her. She also threw the chain lock. "Well, you need to get comfortable," Missy said. "We're going to be here until morning." She dropped the bag on the other bed, then walked over to me with the gun and knife out. She threw a set of handcuffs next to me on the pillow. "I'm going to cut these plastic ties, then I want you to handcuff yourself to the headboard. Remember, no funny business." She cut me loose. I did as she bid me to, hating her all the much more. Missing was nothing more than a snake in a cute package. She was one of those people that learned to manipulate others at a young age and used it to her advantage. I began to wonder if she even had a sister. "Missy, why didn't you just tell us about your sister? We would have tried to help you." I turned onto my back with my left hand handcuffed to the bed. She gave a bitter laugh as she sat on the bed opposite me and began pulling off her shoes. She ran a hand through her curly blonde hair that was limp and lifeless. "Help me? You can't even help yourself right about now. You've seen what we can do." "I can convince Marcus Henchman to tell me where to find her," I said. "You're nothing without that vampire blood. You're just some kind of freak," she said, sneering at me. "At least I'm a freak on the right side," I whispered. "Just shut up," she yelled and jumped up from the bed. She loomed over me, shaking me by the shoulders. "You don't know anything. I'll kill you dead before I let you get to me," she screamed at me, spittle flying from her mouth. I believed her. There was something broken and missing. She was refusing to even consider other possibilities for getting what she needed. Marcus was a ruthless killer. Her sister was probably already dead. Missy regained her composure after a moment. She tried to slide her mask back on, the one that hid her ugliness. She smiled at me. "I'm in the mood for pizza. What about you?" she said in a sickeningly sweet voice. I just looked at her. "Not hungry? Then that'll be more for me," she said as she flipped through the restaurant directory on the table between our beds. She found a pizzeria that delivered and placed a call for a large pepperoni. Then I watched her gather together a change of clothes out of her overnight bag to take a shower. She took everything I could have used to escape with her. The gun, the knife, the key to the handcuffs. She even unplugged the telephone and sat it over the edge of the toilet. While she was in the shower, I stared at the ceiling, counting the minutes. Curiously, there were even stains on the ceiling. Globs of stuff that looked like it had been thrown up there a long time ago and decided to stick for life. The shower turned off and Missy came out dressed in a gray t-shirt and white shorts. She'd gotten ready for bed. I, however, wouldn't be up all night. There was a knock at the door. "Who is it?" Missy called out. "Pizza," came a muffled reply. She plastered on one of her fake smiles and padded over to the door with money in her hand. She opened the door immediately and a man forced his way inside. He was tall, well over 6.5 feet. His head was bald and he had a swarthy skin. His hazel eyes flashed on me. Missy dropped the money in her hand and ran for the gun on her bed. The man was too fast. He grabbed her from behind with one arm and covered her mouth with the other hand. Missy struggled violently, but he was just too strong for her. "Selena," the man breathed my name as he scanned the room, taking in every detail. "Is she the only one?" he asked. "Yes. The keys to the cuffs are on the bed," I said to him in a rush. He was familiar to me, but I couldn't quite place him. "And she is the one that did this to you?" he growled. I nodded my head and he smiled at me. Sharp canines glistened in the lamplight. He was a vampire. Fear sent a cold shiver down my body, giving me goosebumps. The vampire banded his arms around Missy until she could hardly breathe. Then he turned her neck to the side. He struck her like a viper. Missy could hardly draw a breath to scream, and it would be useless anyway. I watched him drain her dry until she was pale and limp against him. Her big blue eyes stared at nothing. The vampire dropped her body to the floor like unwanted trash. He went to her bundle of things on the bed and dug around until he found the tiny key to my handcuffs, worked his way to me, and took off the cuffs. "You don't have to be afraid of me," he said, with a smear of blood at the corner of his mouth. "I'm Aiden." I thought you were in danger and it led me here. You are now free of this woman. I cautiously sat up and swung my legs over the bed away from the vampire. He gave me my space without a word. You must leave here, he said as he began dragging Missy's body into the bathroom. I must get rid of this body and any evidence that you were here. Then he paused long enough to ask me, unless you want to be a suspect in another murder. That spurred me into action. I rummaged through Missy's bag to find clothes I could wear and an extra pair of shoes. Her keys were in the front pocket. I cast one more look at my savior to see him setting fire to the shower curtain. It suddenly dawned on me that he was one of the Morrisville vampires. That cheap room would go up in flames in a matter of no time. I jumped into Missy's car and hightailed it out of there. Thank you for listening. Tune in same time, same place, next week for more of the tale of Blood Magic.